John chapter number 11, and I want to read verse number 28. Keep your Bible open, because we'll look at some verses again in a moment. But I want to build the message out of this chapter around this verse. John chapter number 11 and verse number 28. And when she, speaking of Martha, when she had so said, she went her way and called Mary, her sister, secretly, saying, I want you to say this line out loud with me. The Master is come and calleth for thee. Let's do that again. The Master is come and calleth for thee. Let's do that one more time. The Master is come and calleth for thee. That's what I want to preach on tonight out of this passage. The Master is come and calleth for thee. John chapter number 11, to me, is one of the great chapters of the Bible. In this chapter, we meet three people who have become a great blessing to you and I. We meet a man by the name of Lazarus, and he has two sisters by the name of Martha and Mary. Now, there's a lot about these three that we do not know. We do not know how young or how old they are. They're old enough to where the parents are not mentioned, but yet for some reason a wife and husbands are not mentioned. I've often wondered if it was a bachelor trying to keep house with two old maids. I don't know what it was like. But there is one thing about these three that we do know, and that is that they had an insatiable love for Jesus Christ. They loved Jesus. And not only did they know they loved Jesus, and not only did Jesus know they loved him, but all of the little village of Bethany knew that these three had an undying love for Jesus Christ. I'm glad to say tonight it was not a one-way street. Not only did they love Jesus, but Jesus loved them too. Jesus loved Lazarus and Martha and Mary. And not only did Jesus know he loved them, and not only did they know Jesus loved them, but the whole village knew that Jesus loved these three. You see, Bethany was a little village about a mile and a half southwest of the capital city of Jerusalem. And many times on the journeys of Jesus, he would go through Bethany, and he would stop at their home and eat at their table, sleep at their bed, and fellowship with Lazarus, Martha, and Mary. Someone asked me one time, they said, why do you think that Jesus spent so much time with these three in their home? Well, probably because they made him welcome. Probably because he felt at home in their home. That leads me to say we'd be surprised at the Sunday morning services and the Sunday night services and the Wednesday night services and the camp meeting services that the Lord would frequent often with his presence and power if we would make him welcome. I don't know about you tonight, but he is welcome to invade these grounds. On our church sign one time, we put up a sign that said, Holy Spirit, thou art welcome in this place. It made a local preacher kind of upset. So next Sunday, we put it on both sides of our sign. That Holy Spirit, thou art welcome in this place. Because I promise you tonight, God can do more in 5 seconds in the power of the Holy Spirit than we can do in 50 years in the energy of the flesh. And so Jesus loved these three, and he would manifest himself with Lazarus, Martha, and Mary. We come to our text tonight, and Jesus is in another village about a two-day journey doing what he does best, healing, delivering, preaching, revealing unto them the things of God. And while Jesus is in another village, they send him a message. Lazarus, your friend, is sick. And he's not just sick, but he is sick unto death. But yet the Bible says that Jesus abode 2 more days at the place where he was. And someone said, "Preacher, why didn't the Lord get in a hurry?" Well, when you're the God of all time, you don't have to. When you're the great physician, you don't have to. And if your patient dies before you get there, when you're also the resurrection and the life, you got everything under control. And so Jesus abode 2 more days at the place where he was. And then all of a sudden Jesus says to his disciples, "We are going to go and see Lazarus." Now let me say this tonight. Only one of his disciples or an independent Baptist would have said what these disciples said. One of them said, "Jesus, Lazarus is sick. And if he's sick, we don't need to be bothering him." Another guy come up and said, "Well, wait a minute, he's not just sick, he sleeps." And one of them said, "Well, Lord have mercy, if he's asleep, surely he needs his rest. We don't need to go down there and wake him up." And Jesus said, "Look at me, Lazarus is dead." And then a real Baptist spirit kicked in and said, "Well, if he's dead, why there's no need to even go at all." And finally, Jesus said, "Fellows, if you will shut up and follow me, you are going to see the greatest manifestation of the glory of God you've ever seen in your life." And so we come to our text and they make the two-day journey. Now it is 4 days into this ordeal. Lazarus is not just sick, he is just not dead. He is in the grave dead, and according to his own sister, he's stinking dead. He is dead and stinking dead and in the tomb. Well, Jesus doesn't even make it inside of the village. Now here comes sister number one by the name of Martha. Now, let me say this about Martha. Every family, every home, every church needs somebody in it with a little bit of Martha in them. Let me tell you why I like Martha. She gets it done. And she'll get in your face if she don't think you ain't getting it done. Now, whether God is in it or not, Martha is going to get it done. You know what Martha can do? She can burn down an entire forest. Why most people are searching for a match. Let me tell you the difference between Martha and most normal people. Why all the other ladies in the missionary prayer circle are praying for God to close down the beer joint, Martha goes over there and burns it down herself. Can I get a witness? I mean, Martha is somebody who's expressive, they're outgoing, they're a workaholic, and they'll get in your face and they're going to get it done. Well, here comes Martha in Martha fashion. She gets right up in the face of Jesus. Now, what she says is right. Now, her spirit is wrong. Her attitude is wrong. Her disposition is wrong. But what she says is right. She says, "Jesus, if you would have been here, my brother would not have died." Now, what she says is right. You can't die around resurrection. Someone said, "What did Jesus preach when he preached a funeral?" He never did preach a funeral. He broke a bunch of them up, but he never preached a funeral. I'm telling you, an undertaker's worst nightmare in that day was for Jesus to come to one of his services. Because if Jesus came to the funeral, they had to give a cash back refund Johnny on the spot. Now, what she said is right. Her disposition is wrong. Her attitude is wrong. Her spirit is wrong. But what she said is right. If you would have been here, my brother would not have died. And then Jesus looks at Martha and uses the law of double mention, Martha, Martha. He said, listen to me. Your brother is going to live again. And then Martha does something else to me that I've heard people do. And let me just say it like this. When you are praying, if it helps you pray, to quote scripture, when you pray, then by all means do it. But if you're quoting scripture to remind God of what he said, he remembers. I've heard people pray. Now, Lord, you know you. Yeah, he knows he said it because he's the one that said it. And he meant what he said and said what he meant. And so Martha says, well, I'll quote him some scripture. I know he's going to live again in the last day in the great resurrection. And Jesus said, Martha, look at me. I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth on me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And that's all that Jesus said. But there's one thing about Martha that I so admire. She may be quick-tempered. She may have hoof and mouth disease. She may get in your face. She may be a workaholic. But Martha has discernment because she looks in the face of Jesus and she reads his eyes. She reads his mind. You see, every time Jesus had been in that little town, Lazarus was there. Martha was there. And then the other sister, Mary, was there. But now she knows that Jesus knows that Lazarus is dead and in the grave. Martha knows, and she knows that Jesus knows. She's up there in his face. But Martha realizes Mary is not here. And she reads in the eyes of Jesus that he has not only come to help Lazarus, and he has not only come to help Martha, but he has come to help Mary as well. Now let me say this. I'm going somewhere, but let me say this about Mary. Now, if you're here tonight and you're a parent and you have more than one more child, you'll have to admit they are different. If you got two kids, they may have the same mama, may have the same daddy, go to the same church, have the same preacher, but they are different. Brother, you can have one smarter than a tack, and you can have another dumber than a box of rocks. Quit looking around at somebody. That's how you get slapped in a Baptist church. Brother, you can have one child. All you got to do is say, stop that. And they'll stop cold in their tracks. And you can have another one. You can yell. I mean, frail the daylights out of them. And when it's over, they'll ask you that great question of information. Why? I'm going to tell you one of the things I have enjoyed as an adult more than anything. Looking at two kids and saying, bless God, cause I said so. That's why. But if you got two children, they are different. Now watch this, Martha and Mary, they're sisters, but they're polar opposites. When Martha's mad, everybody knows it. When Martha's mad, she wants you to get mad with her. Martha could have not have played poker. I mean, she could not have hid her looks. If Martha had the old maid in her hand, she'd stick it up real high over all of the others. I mean, Martha, if she's upset, she pitches a fit in front of Jesus and God and the Holy Ghost and everybody. But Mary is not that way. She's a private person. She's a secret person. When Mary's upset, she don't spill it out. She bottles it in. When Mary's upset, she don't want to eat. She don't want to talk. She don't want to be messed with. When Mary's upset, she wants to steal away somewhere in a secret place and grieve privately. But you know what I love about Jesus? He not only loves the Martha, but he loves the Mary. Not only does he not rebuke the Martha, he does not rebuke the Mary. Not only does he care for the Martha, but he cares for the Mary. And man, Martha leaves Jesus at the gate of that little village. And she runs into that house where Mary's been in private and in solitude for 4 long days. And she runs in that house. And the Bible said she did it secretly. I believe, number one, she was the only one in the house. And number two, I believe she whispered it in her ear. She's wept and cried till she's got the circles under her eyes. She has wept and cried till her eyes are bloodshot and they look like road maps. But Martha runs in that room, taps little Mary on the shoulder, and whispers in her ear the words of our text. The Master's come and calleth for thee. The Master's come and calleth for thee. The Master's come and calleth for thee. Lord God, young'uns, I believe when Mary heard that, she looked up and wiped the tears and began to smile. And in her heart she said, I knew he would. I knew he would. I knew he would. I thought about this. If the only word in the verse that Martha would have said was the opening one, that would have been enough. If she would have just said, Master, Master, that would have said it all. Because when you say Jesus is Master, there's nothing else left to say. Because that's who he is and that's what he is. I'm glad he's the Master of all masters. He's the Master God. He's the Master King. He's the Master Friend. He's the Master Savior. He's the Master Shepherd. He's the Master of the sea. He's the Master of time. He's the Master of problems. He's high above the highest. He's greater than the greatest. He's better than the best. He is the Master. And the greatest thing you ever heard somebody say to you in your dilemma is just to speak his name, the Master. Oh, but it gets better. She said, the Master is come. If that's all she would have said, that would have been enough. The Master's come. The Master's come. The Master's come. That means he left his place and came all the way down to our place. And if he didn't love us, he wouldn't have done that. If he didn't care about us, he wouldn't have done that. He's here, Mary. He's here. They said he'd never come. The devil said he'd never come. He's here. He's come. He's here. He's come. Aren't you glad in your sorrow, in your dilemma, somebody said to you, he's here. Hallelujah. He's here. Amen. He's come. He's come. He's come. The Master is come. But it gets better. She said, the Master is come. And here it is. And calleth for thee. Calleth for thee. Mary, he misses you. Mary, he wants you. Mary, he's inviting you. Mary, he's aware of you. Mary, he's got something he wants to say to you. Mary, he's got something he wants to do for you. Mary, he's got something that he wants to show you. He calleth for thee. He knows your name. He knows your need. He knows your desire. And he's got something just for you. I've come to tell somebody tonight, it may hurt, it may stink, it may sound bad, but there is one named the Master, and he has come, and he calls for you, and he calls for you, and he calls for you. He's got something that he wants to do, and he's got something that he wants to say. Aren't you glad tonight when you were an old depraved sinner, couldn't find God even if you were looking for him? You heard somebody say, the Master's come and call it for thee. You remember when everybody let you down and you felt like you didn't have a friend in the world? And the Holy Ghost come by and said, the Master's come. And he called for thee. When sickness and pain had wrapped your body, somebody said, the Master's come and call it for thee. When you felt like you couldn't crawl out of that hole the devil put you in, you heard somebody say, the Master's come and call it for thee. And you and I were waiting on, I'm waiting on some golden daybreak when all of the saints of God hear the angels say, the Master's come and call it for thee. And I want to tell you tonight, hallelujah, the greatest thing in your life you'll ever do is say, yes, Lord, yes, Lord, yes, Lord. I'm glad the Master's come and he calls for you and I. That's my introduction. I know it took me a while to get there, but I had a good time getting there. The Master's come and call it for thee. In our text tonight, quickly, there are three things that Jesus wanted to say to them when he came and called for them. I believe tonight he wants to say these same three things to you and I when he comes and calls for us. Number one, write them down tonight. Number one, I like this. He wanted them to know, I'm not late. And I've come to tell you tonight, he is not late. When Jesus got to Bethany, first thing Martha did is point to the calendar. 4 days, Jesus. 4 days. But can I say, God does not need your calendar. He does not need your watch, because his ways are not our ways. And just can I remind you of this? He's an on-time God. Yes, he is. You say, where is God in my life? He's headed your way. You say, when is he going to show up? Just when you need him the most. Woo! Can I say that again? You say, when is God going to show up? Just when you need him the most. Can I brag on him in just a minute? He's never failed us before, and he's not about to start tonight. He's on time. He's got a plan. He's got a purpose. He's not late. Whew. I found this out the other day, and it like to bless me to death. Did you know in that day the Jews were very superstitious people? And you say, well, Brother Arthur, what is a superstition? Here it is. It's something a redneck said that would happen that ain't never happened and it never will. And everybody believes it because a redneck said such and such may happen. By the way, you do know the last words of a redneck, don't you? Y'all watch this. And his brother said, well, I can do that too. Say amen right there. A superstition. May all the Jews had a superstition. Nobody ever done it, but they thought you could. That if somebody died, and if you could get to that person within 7 to 2 hours or 3 days, you just might be able to pray the right kind of prayer that can evoke that spirit back into that body. Now, nobody had ever done it, but they just thought you could. But here's the other side of the superstition. They thought if you got there beginning the fourth day or longer, it was too late. I mean, if you got there 4 days and longer, no matter how hard you prayed, no matter how good you prayed, it was absolutely hopeless. All hope was gone. It can never happen. If you get there 4 days and beyond, forget it, pal. It is over. Someone said, why did he wait for 4 days? I'll tell you what God did. He sovereignly arranged the circumstance beyond their control. So when he stepped in and did for them what they could not do for themselves, he got the praise, he got the glory, he got the honor, because only he could do that. If I know people like I think I know people, and I ought to know something about them, I've been pastoring the same Baptist church for 30 years. If Jesus would have went day one, somebody would have said, hallelujah, it was my prayers that got him up. You need anybody to pray, call on me. I prayed that old boy out of that grave. Liar, 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 your pants is on fire. If he'd have came day number two, somebody would have said, hallelujah, it was my faith. Hallelujah, it was my faith. I faithed him out. Are you on drugs? If he'd have came day number three, some high-powered flaming evangelist from Georgia would have said, bless God, I preached him out. I preached him out. As I said last night, I preached a few people dead. I ain't ever preached nobody alive. But oh, it's 4 days. Son, did you hear that? It's 4 days. You can't pray him out. You can't faith him out. You can't preach him out. He's done dead. He's really dead, done dead, dead, sure enough dead, embalmed dead, stinking dead, he dead. You can't pray enough, you can't faith enough, and you can't preach enough. Done, done, dead, dead, really dead, sure enough dead, stinking dead. Oh, but when man couldn't pray enough, and when man, Lord of God, I'm about to enjoy my own preaching right there, and when man couldn't faith enough, and when man couldn't preach enough, here came Jesus right on time and said, I don't need your prayer, I don't need your faith, and I don't need your preaching. I can do what nobody else can do. I'm here to tell you, he's not behind. He's not a day late. He's not a dollar short. He's on time. He's on time. He's on time. He's not late tonight. And I just remind you, he has a great track record of not being late. He was conceived in the womb of a virgin on time. Born in Bethlehem's manger on time. Worked in the carpenter shop on time. Prayed in Gethsemane on time. Anointed with the power of the Holy Ghost on time. Performed miracles on time. Revealed truth on time. Arrested on time. Tried on time. Whipped and beaten on time. Bruised and bled on time. Nailed to the cross on time. Died on time. Got up on time. Walked the shores of the Galilee on time. Ascended back to glory on time. Sat down at the right hand of the Father on time. Wrote the Bible on time. Sent the Holy Ghost on time. Saved your soul on time. Met your need on time. Answered your prayer on time. Coming back on time. And take us to a place where there'll be no time. Where we'll have a big old time. I'm telling you, he's not late. Woo! He's not late. Where is he? Just where you need him to be. He's not late. Boy, the devil will tell you. The devil will tell you that God's forsaken you. The devil will tell you you don't mean nothing to God. But he's not just a liar. He's a daddy rabbit of all liars. Poor Elijah. Will you be Elijah a minute? Poor old Elijah. He's in that old cave and ball of fire comes by and God's not in it. Does that mean he's never in the fire? Nope. He has been in some fires and going to be in some more fires. Yeah. But you remember this, God is the sovereign. He don't have to duplicate himself. He was not in the fire. Well, about that time here come a big old whirlwind. God wasn't in that. Does that mean he's not in whirlwinds? Oh no, he's been in some whirlwinds, going to be in some more. A couple of chapters, he's going to go to heaven in one. But that ain't what he needed right now. And then that was an earthquake. I got a message. I've been preaching on five earthquakes in the Bible, and I've entitled the message, "A Whole Lot of Shaking Going On." Boy, the Bible said, and the Lord was not in that earthquake. Does that mean he's never in earthquakes? Nope, he's been in some earthquakes, and he's going to be in some more earthquakes. But right now, Elijah doesn't need a ball of fire. He doesn't need a whirlwind, and he doesn't need an earthquake. Amen. But when the dust settled and the smoke cleared and it got real quiet, here came God. And the Bible said he spoke to Elijah.
Amen. Amen.
Now this good brother here, if he's right here, and I'm way over here, and if I'm way over here, and he's way over there, and if I'm going to talk to him, I'm going to have to speak up where he can hear me. Hey, brother. Wait a minute. If that brother's over here, and I'm over here, and that brother's standing there, and I'm standing there, if he's here and I'm real close to him, I ain't got to say, "Hey, brother, how you doing?"
Amen.
If I'm close enough, I can say, "Hey, how you doing? Glory to God. Amen. Thank you, Jesus." Watch this now. Elijah feels like God's 10 million miles away. I want to say, Elijah, he's a whole lot closer than you think, big boy. In fact, he's so close, he ain't got to yell at you. He's so close, he can whisper to you. Woo! And I like what he told him. "Son, I sent you some angels. I sent you a widow woman. I even sent you some ravens." That was good, wasn't it?
Amen.
"But you know what? I love you so much, I thought I'd just come tell you myself." Hallelujah. Boy, don't you like it when God sends the angel? Don't you like it when God sends the brethren? Don't you like it when God sends your friends? But I want to tell you what I like tonight is when God comes himself, and God comes himself. I've come to tell somebody, he's not forgot you. He's not abandoned you. He's not late. He's not late. He's not late. And the master's come, and he calleth for thee. Not late. Number two, write this down tonight. He wanted them to know, "I've not lost touch." And you know what he wants me to tell you tonight? He's not lost touch. You say, "What do you mean by that point?" Watch this now. 4 days. You say, "What's so big about that?" The devil's had 4 days to feel the mind and the heart of Martha and Mary with all kind of lies. Something like, "See, I tried to tell you it wasn't nothing to it. I tried to tell you that it doesn't pay to serve Jesus. Why, you don't mean nothing to Jesus. Why, if you mean anything to him, if he loved you, your brother wouldn't have got sick. And surely he would have never died. And not only that, if you meant anything to Jesus, and if Jesus loved you, he'd have come the first day you sent for him. He wouldn't be this long in coming." See? All them meals you cooked, all that time you spent in his presence, it's nothing to it. I tried to tell you, nothing to it. You say, "Brother Arthur, what gives you the audacity to think the devil would say that to Martha and Mary?" Because he's tried that on me a time or two. Well, the devil ain't never bothered me. Have you ever been married? The devil ain't never bothered me. You ain't never raised teenagers. I still don't understand it. A child can go to bed perfectly normal, and somewhere during the night they drank 5 gallons of stupid. Not my child, Brother Arthur. I want you to know that my child's an angel. Yeah, we read about him. Fallen. Well, I've never had the devil bother me. You've never worked with the public. Well, I've never had the devil bother me. Then you've never been sick physically. It seems like when you get sick physically, the devil will try to make you double sick emotionally and spiritually. I read the other day where there are people who are not sick, but they like being in the hospital. Look up at me. If you ain't sick and you like being in the hospital, you're sick! I didn't like my stay. I'll tell you a couple of reasons why I didn't like it. Number one, it was the coldest place I've ever been in my life. And I'm going to tell you, if what you got don't kill you, you'll catch double pneumonia up there in that place. Because I'm going to tell you, that thing they give you to wear, Christians ought not to have to dress like that. Yeah. And they don't care if you're Pastor Joe Arthur from Harvest Baptist Tabernacle Incorporated. No, they'll put you in that thing, put you in a wheelchair, roll you out front, bless God, like a Walmart greeter. And there you are. Son, one guy come by me trying to cover up, and I said, man, I'm sorry. He said, me too. I just come to check the air condition. He wasn't even a patient. Brother David, all them medical terms, all those medical terms, I don't know where they got them, but I know where they got that ICU from. Yeah, you're about to get it. You put that gown on and turn around and I'm going to go, I see you. I got that illustration from the Carl Sutton. That's one of his, amen. Brother David, I'll tell you something else I didn't like about it. It's the noisiest place I've ever been. They woke me up so I could get some rest. Poor gal coming there to check my blood pressure. Had that cart. She run under the wall, the bed, the angels, Jesus, and the pearly gates. Wham, bam, bam, bam. High pass it. Fine. But here's what I hated about it the most. Somebody told the devil what room I was in. And he went to hell and got him some reinforcements. And every night when my little family would leave me, here he'd come with his little following. And they'd parade around my bed and say, gotcha. Shout now, camp meeting preacher. Rip one off now, glory boy. Be a blessing to somebody now, big shot. You'll never preach again. You'll never shout again. You're done. And I'm telling you, you listen to that. You'll be as confused as a termite in a yo-yo. I'll tell you, pain and loneliness will take your mind down some dark alleys that a normal man don't need to go down. Boy, I want to tell you, the devil will lie to you. Isn't it amazing? Before you got saved, the devil told you, why, you're all right. You don't need to be saved. And then ever since you've been saved, he's trying to tell you that you ain't saved and you don't know God. I wish he'd make up his mind. Sounds like he's more confused about it than you are. He'll tell you stuff like that. And I just want to run me a rabbit while I'm here. Anybody who claims to be a preacher in person, radio, or television that stands up and tells an audience that if they're sick and they have affliction in their body, they're either not saved or they're on the judgment of God, that man is crippled too high for crutches. They ought to put a tattoo on his brain, rooms for rent upstairs. Oh, don't you judge the will of God. Don't you judge the goodness of God. Don't you judge the blessings of God while you're walking through the valley. Woo! You remember me tonight. God is still right and God is still good and the devil is a stinking liar. Woo! And here comes Jesus. And there he stands. Mary, Martha runs over there and said, Mary, he's here. The Master. You know what I'm talking about? The Master. He's here. And calleth for thee. Son of old Mary, she runs out of that house. And those bystanders says, oh my, look at her. She's going to go over there and have her another fit. She's going to the grave. But instead of turning to the grave, she turned to the gate. Glory. And she got out there to where Jesus had been waiting on her. Right where Martha left him. Man, I got about 10 more hours of preaching. I got to hurry. Man, I got so much I can't get it all out. I'm going to have a good time getting it. Say amen right there. Oh, have you realized this? She says the same thing her sister said. She said the same thing her sister said. But her position was different. Her spirit was different. Her attitude is different. Martha said it in his face, accusing. If you'd have been here, my brother wouldn't have died. If you'd have been here, my brother wouldn't have died. But Mary's not up in his face. No. She's down. Whoo! She's not up in his face. She's down at his feet. She's not up there accusing him. She's at his feet broken and weeping and pouring out her heart. If you'd have been here, he wouldn't have died. If you'd have been here, he wouldn't have died. Can I say this tonight? If you'll get out of his face and quit cussing him and accusing him and get at his feet and adore him and worship him, you're going to see God move on your behalf. Woo! And brother, she's crying. By the way, tears are not a sign of weakness. Tears are a language, and God understands, for tears touch God, tears touch others. Whew. It's just 5-8 in Alabama. There's a psychological term for this, and I can't never remember it, but if you got it and I get around you, I get it too. If I'm around you and your head hurts, mine's going to start hurt. If I'm around you and you mad, I'm going to get mad with you. If I'm around you and you're nauseated, I'm going to be nauseated too. And if you carry it out, I'm going to carry it out too. I can't help it. And when I see people cry, I can't help it. Especially if it's a woman or a little child, it just tears my nerves up. And ever since our nation has been at war on terror, nearly every Monday morning I'm at the Atlanta airport flying out for a meeting. And since 2001, I've seen them soldier boys and soldier girls coming and leaving from places of danger. And they stand there in that uniform. And they're telling their wives by and their kids by and their mama and their daddy by. It tears me up every time. They're crying and I don't even know them and I'm a crying. Can't help it, man. I was in Baltimore, Maryland a while back and there was a young soldier standing there and talking to his wife. He had three little children in step ladder formation. I've never seen this. That soldier knelt in front of his wife, took her by the hand and kissed her hand and led her in prayer and told her goodbye. He went to every individual child one-on-one and got their hand and kissed their hand and led them in prayer and told them goodbye. Son, by the time he got to the last one, they were crying. He was a-crying. The wife was a-crying. And old Jojo was a-crying. I couldn't. It tore my nerves up. If you've ever been to the Atlanta airport, when you land, you get a little train and you ride through the train and you come up an escalator to where you get your bags. Man, I came up the escalator the day, and when I got to that top floor, balloons went up, confetti went up, people started blowing trumpets and horns and clapping. I thought, wow, my wife's got the whole church out to welcome me home. Wasn't me. Brother Rick, it was two soldier boys coming back from Afghanistan. And Lord God, people got to hugging one another. Before I knowed it, one of them women come over and hug me. You said, Dr. Arthur, what did you do? I done the Christian thing and hugged her back. Now, before you blog that all over the internet world, she was old enough to be my mama. I've had a rule in my ministry. I don't hug any women over 6 or under 60. But I'll tell you, at 52, I'm going to have to move that up. Some of these 60-year-old gals are looking pretty good for me. Can I get a witness right there now? Boy, that's one of his illustrations. I got that one from him. And oh, hear what he said. I don't even know you. Bless God, pull a Simon Peter. Say amen right there. Oh, I said all that to say this. I'm lethargic. I'm cold-hearted. I'm about half backslid most of the time. But if something like that touches my old cold heart, how much more? Woo! How much more does it touch the heart of a perfect and gracious and merciful and kind Savior? I've come to tell you, He's not clenched-fisted. He's not closed-eyed. He's not cold-hearted. He's in touch. He's in touch. He's in touch. He's touched with the feelings of our infirmity. I got to quit. Mary is at his feet. Boy, just weeping. Just weeping. And can I just say, are you weary? Are you heavy hearted? Tell it to Jesus. Tell it to Jesus. Hey, hey, hey. She's weeping. And Brother Rick, about that time in the silence of her weeping, Mary hears. What was that? The Master. He was groaning with her. You say, what does that mean? He had stepped into her world. He had entered into her suffering. Her pain was his pain. Her agony was his agony. And his tears were her tears. And while she's down there weeping, she feels something hit the side of her face, run down her cheeks. She looks down and it's puddling up on her hands. And she looks up and she sees it. Not only is she crying, but Jesus is crying too. Glory. Hallelujah. And his tears got to mingling with her tears. And her tears got to mingling with his tears. And I just want to tell you tonight, when your tears mingle with the Master's tears, it's not going to be long till Lazarus gets up and walks out on resurrection ground. He's not laid. He's not lost touch. Number three, I'm done. He wanted them to know, I'm not limited. They said, Jesus is 4 days. He said, I wasn't counting. Where have you laid him? And then in Martha fashion, oh no, Jesus. No. I know what you're thinking. Don't do it. Whatever you do, Jesus, don't go over there and roll that stone away from that grave. He stinks. His own sister said he stinks. You roll that stone away, the awful smell is going to come out of that you ever seen in your life. I want to say, my soul, Martha, don't you realize there's enough fragrance in that rose of Sharon and lily of the valley to cover up any stink you got? But Brother Joe, I'm here tonight and the whole world stinks to me. Well, can I tell you, coming right down the road, it's somebody who's a sweet-smelling Savior to God, and He can brighten up your world. Roll away that stone. And he didn't go to that cave and say, "Hey, anybody in there?" No. He didn't even go up there and say, "Come forth." If he'd have done that, every dead person in the world would have walked out. And they will one day, but not now. He said, "Lazarus, come forth." And the Bible said he who was bound from hand to foot and even had a napkin over his face. You see, how does a man do that that's bound up and got a napkin over? I'm trying to tell you, he ain't limited. And Jesus said, "Loose him and let him go." You say, where did he go? He went to chapter 12. You see, why'd he go to chapter 12? Because 12 comes after 11. Even in Georgia, 12 comes after 11. Because you know what you got in chapter number 12? You got a table, you got a supper, and you got a celebration. What are they celebrating? Well, look who's there. Simon the ex-leper. Well, what are they celebrating? He ain't a leper no more. Lazarus, the ex-dead man. What are they celebrating? He ain't dead no more. Martha and Mary, the ex-nerve tore up her. What are they celebrating? They ain't tore up no more. I'm done. Guess who else is there? Jesus. What are they celebrating him for? Because he's the reason why he ain't a leper no more. He's the reason why he ain't dead no more. He's the reason why they not tore up anymore. I want to say the Master's come. He calleth for thee. And we're headed to the table. We're headed to supper time. We're headed to celebration time. The best is yet to come. Trust God. Believe in God. Respond to God. He knows the way through the wilderness. And the greatest thing you'll do when you hear him call your name is say, "Here I am." Because he's not late. He's not lost touch. And he's not limited. I want you to turn to the person beside of you and say, "Hey, the Master's come and calleth for thee." Go ahead, say that person beside of you. "The Master's come and he calleth for thee." Turn around that person beside of you and tell them, "The Master's come and he calling for thee." Now turn around and say, "And if I was you, I'd do what he said." Woo! Because he knows you tonight and he loves you tonight. Man, I got to close. But I'm feeling good. But I just listen. Can you imagine how different this story would have ended if Mary would have crossed her arms and said, "I ain't interested. He's too late. I'm mad at him. Forget it. He didn't come and I want him to just forget it. I'm just going to sit right here in this house." What a different outcome. The only possible thing, Brother Tripp, and you know the Bible much better than I do, but the only thing I see in this passage that could have possibly limited God was their willingness to roll the stone away or not. And just somehow, if you roll it away, God will do the rest. "For the Master's come and calleth for thee." Let's stand together. Lord, our Heavenly Father, we love you tonight.